And welcome back, boys and girls, for yet again a rather very special edition of the Michael Deacon program. Oh yeah, we are live on DLive, not on YouTube. This is a very different platform, boys and girls, but it'll still work and get the job done. This is going to be too hot for YouTube. That's why we are here exclusively on DLive. And I couldn't be any more prouder and more honored than the fact that I'm joined by a legend. Oh yes, the freight train is with me, Mr. James Fetzer. Let's cut this music right away and get right to the man of the hour, Mr. James Fetzer. How's it going, my friend?
Well, Michael, it's such a pleasure to be back with you again. Some of my favorite interviews have been with you, my friend. I think you're such a marvelous host, and I got a lot going on here with Alex Jones, Sandy Hook, Twitter, and the like I want to share.
I love that. I truly do. I'm so glad you're here, Jim, and it's been too damn long, Jim, since me and you had a sit-down and talked about everything here.
Yeah, I think in the meanwhile, I had a heart attack. I had open heart surgery, double bypass. I went through 60 sessions of cardiac rehab. Michael, there's been a lot going on.
A lot has been going on.
I've replaced Michael Rivero on RBN with a show, Authentic News, 5 days a week. From 2 to 4 is Central, 3 to 5 Eastern, and enjoying it tremendously. Excellent callers. Michael, I'm just having a lot of fun. And, of course, I'm still doing my Revolutionary Radio show, The Raw Deal, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from 11 to 1 Central, noon to 2 Eastern.
Very nice. And, of course, we are live on DLive. For those who are wondering what the hell is going on, yes, you are seeing Jim in the flesh right now in real time. And Jim, say hi to everyone on DLive.
Yeah, I'm delighted. I don't know a lot about this platform, Michael, but I'm impressed. It sounds wonderful, and I'm very, very pleased to be here with you, my friend.
Absolutely. And of course, you are open for phone calls here tonight, I hope.
Yes. I thought we'd do it in two segments. I want to begin talking about this film, really propaganda, The Truth versus Alex Jones. And a second segment might take another 30 minutes to talk about my interaction, my communication with participants in the Sandy Hook event. And then we can open the lines, so I'd say half an hour for each and then open the lines, Michael. That ought to work.
You got it, my friend. Yes, let's get right into it here with the Sandy Hook, the topic that no one is allowed to talk about for quote-unquote obvious reasons, they say, Jim.
Yeah, obvious reasons, right? Because it was done in a kind of a sloppy, casual way. I mean, I did a book. I brought together 13 experts, Michael, and published a book back in 2015 entitled Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, where I had six PhDs and others, and we'd established that the school had been closed by 2008, that there were no students or teachers there, and that had been a FEMA drill. We already had the FEMA manual, which I included in Appendix A. Well, that was too much for the government, which was behind these hoaxes. I'm talking about the Obama, Biden, Eric Holder government, because it turns out to have been Eric Holder who came down to Newtown and offered the community, get this, Michael, $114 million if they'd participate in this scam that was intended to illustrate what could happen if we don't take guns away from the American people. And indeed, it turns out that the school was actually closed in 2006. And get this, it wasn't even an elementary school, Michael.
Amazing.
It was a special needs school. I mean, I'm telling you, it's outrageous how they pulled this scam off on the American people. But they had to kill the book. So Amazon, in my opinion, acting as an agent of the government, which is, of course, a violation of the First Amendment, banned the book less than a month after it went on sale, even though it sold nearly 500 copies. Now, Michael, a book that's selling nearly 500 copies in less than a month is going to be a runaway bestseller. So they had to cut that off. The book was banned. It went on sale 22 October 2015, banned on 19 November. And because I could tell this was purely political, I released it for free as a PDF. I was going on with Jeff Rentz that night, and I had him announce, and he carried the book for a very long time as a PDF, which has been downloaded, according to a friend of mine who follows us, millions of times. Well, let me just say, I have a new redacted. I've gone to a court case. They took the book away from me. It was based on three sentences in a 440-plus page book. What I have been able to do, even though they took the book from me, is to create a new edition, a redacted edition, Michael, which you can now download for free from my blog at jameshfetzer.org. You want to look for the lead article right now, Fake News, The Truth versus Alex Jones. You can download the redacted edition for free.
Now, you just mentioned Alex Jones. Let's just jump right into this and get this out of the way. What are your thoughts and opinions on him kind of cryptically sort of referencing you in numerous broadcasts that he's done that's listened to and watched by probably millions around the world, Jim?
Yeah. Well, my name has been taken in vain by Alex and his crew many, many times now, and I'm just assembling the evidence of how it happened. For example, and this was the very day that the court authorized a seizure of my blog and the various editions of the book, as I'd edited a second edition, 2016. They took it the very morning that the Austin trial, where they had a producer of Alex Jones read a message from Paul Joseph Watson saying, we got to stay as far away as possible from that batshit crazy Fetzer. So this was happening. They were trying to curtail my ability to respond. I had a huge amount on Sandy Hook on my blog. Now, I saw it coming that they were going to take my blog, so I'd already prepared a new blog. Instead of jameshfetzer.org, the new blog, jameshfetzer.org, and I was able to keep all those excellent posts about Sandy Hook on the new blog. But I was still hamstrung by the court action, and it's taken me until now to sort out what I can do about it by creating a redacted edition that removes the offending sentences over which I was sued. And indeed, I've given as a bonus. I had done a memorandum for then President of the United States, Donald Trump, with Robert David Steele, which I'm also making available now. They had challenged one sentence there, so I took out the one sentence, so you can download both. You can download the redacted book. That's 440-plus pages. You can download the redacted memorandum now entitled Sandy Hook Truth, both from my blog and because State of the Nation has picked up and published the article on their journal. You can download it there. And if you're on Twitter, you can go to my Twitter site, at Jim Fetzer, and you can download the book and the memorandum there, which is another 128 pages. It has 31 short essays, about 3-4 pages max, and 5 appendices. It's really nice. And get this, it's already been downloaded, I think, 3,500 times.
That's good. We need to spread that out there and get this out, you know, get the word out there on this document, Jim.
That's absolutely right, which is a reason I was especially glad that we would be having this conversation today. Now, I know quite a lot about this film that's been produced, called The Truth versus Alex Jones, by an outfit calling themselves Amos Pictures, because they used me as a hook, I think, to entice Wolfgang Helbig to participate. They came and did a very good interview with me here. And I'll tell you, Michael, I must have given them 100 proofs that Sandy Hook was a scam. Not only the FEMA manual, the FBI Consolidated Crime Report for 2012, which at the intersection of Newtown and murders and non-negligent homicides has a big fat zero, since Sandy Hook is a subdivision of Newtown. If there were zero murders or non-negligent homicides in Newtown in 2012, there were zero murders or non-negligent homicides in Sandy Hook. You know, I thought evidence like this would be persuasive to the court.
Right, and you weren't given a chance to present your evidence the last I heard.
Well, here's the deal. I was hit with the complaint. I mean, there are several stages to lawsuits, and the first of which is to serve a complaint upon the party being sued. And what this complaint alleged was that I had falsely asserted that a death certificate for Noah Posner, which his ostensive father, Lenny Posner, had himself put up on one of his blogs. It was his Google Plus page at the time, to share with Kelly Watt, who was a colleague of mine in Sandy Hook Research, where they had over 100 hours of conversation, and she told him she didn't believe a word he said, didn't believe he had a son, didn't believe he died, challenged him, and he put up this death certificate, which he shared with me, and then we co-authored a chapter about it, which had no file number, it had no town or state certification. The town certification, there's a part that is filled out by the medical examiner as the cause of death, so that the town certification is that this is a valid death certificate executed by the medical examiner, in this case, Wayne Carver. And then the state certification is that it's a true copy of the valid death certificate. Well, and assigns it a file number. Well, this had none of the above. It had no file number, had no town, no state certification. And guess what? It turns out, as I learned during the course of the research on this and defending myself, Connecticut has a law that not even parents are allowed to have an uncertified death certificate. So here was Leonard Posner with an uncertified death certificate for Noah. It did say the decedent had died at Sandy Hook Elementary School on the, 12 December 2012.
Right. Yeah, that's what I found most fascinating about this, Jim, what you just mentioned. That is something that I was going to bring up here. And of course, I had seen and heard rumors that the FBI actually classified the report on Sandy Hook, which leads me to believe that it's pretty much an active cover-up. Dead giveaway.
Well, and yet, in their consolidated crime report, you get a big zero for deaths, murders in Newtown in 2012. But the fact is, this death certificate stated that the decedent had died at Sandy Hook of multiple gunshot wounds on the appointed day. So it was very odd because attached to the complaint, Michael, was a different death certificate that had a file number, town certification, state certification. And in the context of the complaint, it said they were not materially different, which is completely absurd. I mean, material differences are ones that matter in the eyes of the law. Obviously, a file number, town certification, state certification matter in the eyes of the law. Now get this, because I thought, after I did research on this, I thought that I had an opportunity to get all of the evidence I had amassed in the book into the public forum by way of the judicial process. And therefore, I composed an answer where I laid out one proof after another. I think there are a dozen, 16 proofs, including, for example, that there's the photograph, the iconic photograph that appears to be of a policewoman escorting a string of kids to safety in the parking lot.
Right, right.
Taken by Shannon Hicks, who is a Newtown Bee photojournalist, was preceded by an earlier photograph she took, showing a whole bunch of parents there. I mean, six or eight parents there just casually looking on, hands in their pockets, arms folded. No distress, no anxiety, just looking on. An earlier photograph, which showed at the head of the line a little girl in a pink sweater and a short skirt. So the photograph that was published had instead a little boy in a long sleeve shirt and blue jeans. He was a little taller. It was a more photogenic. They rearranged the kids to get a better take. And of course, goodness. Once you know there's this earlier photograph, Michael, you know the whole thing's a sham. I mean, during this emergency shooting, you know, which only took place for 5 minutes or so from 9:35 to 9:40 that morning, how in the world would parents have been notified to get down there in time? I mean, it was ludicrous. And
right.
While Shannon Hicks admitted she had taken both photographs, I even thought at one point that she was in the earlier photograph, but no, she has admitted she took them both. That already blows the story right out of the water, Michael.
Absolutely. And for those who aren't following along here and have no idea what we're talking about, we are having a good conversation here about the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting that happened in Newtown, Connecticut, back, way back, December 14th, 2012, that left 26 people dead and 2 injured at the school after murdering his mother at their home. Adam Lanza fatally shot 20 children and 6 adults at Sandy Hook before taking his own life, and which is considered one of the deadliest school shootings in U.S. history.
Well, was in fact an act of domestic terrorism because it was propagated as real. And because it was cleverly designed psychologically, Michael, it instilled fear in every parent and probably a whole lot of children across the country when it was, in fact, a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. And your audience may be fascinated to know that after I was abused by the court system where, just to clarify Michael's observation about my evidence, after having enumerated overwhelming evidence that nobody had died at Sandy Hook, the court, during the scheduling conference, said that was a rabbit hole we weren't going to go down, that he wasn't going to allow me to
really
explain what, yeah, why I believe
I'm
nobody
shocked.
Died at Sandy Hook. He said it had nothing to do with the truthfulness or accuracy of the death certificate. Can
Oy
you
vey.
Believe that, Michael?
My
Can
goodness.
You?
I can't believe I that. That's pretty wild.
I was flabbergasted. I mean, look, I offered courses in logic for 35 years. Here you have evidence nobody died. It's a finite class of 20 plus 6, 20 kids and 6, just as you observed. He's a member of the class. I have evidence that no member of the class died, and yet the circuit court judge ruled that it had nothing to do with the accuracy or truthfulness of a death certificate for one of them, to wit, this Noah Posner. I mean, honestly, I was floored. So in what I had to do then was to cope with the case without being able to rely on the evidence that I thought was going to carry the burden. And what I did was to secure reports of two forensic document experts. Now, Michael, the way in which the authenticity of documents is determined in courts of law in America is on the basis of expert document examiners and their reports. Well, I didn't have one, I had two. And by the time we had reached the oral hearing on the case, I had introduced four different versions of the death certificate. You would think in and of itself that would be evidence something is terribly wrong. Why should there be four different versions of a death certificate? But there were, and their reports were that all four of them were fake, including, of course, the one for which I was being sued for defamation by saying it was fake. I mean, this is really quite something. And the judge just set aside the expert reports as unhelpful. He just said it was unhelpful. I mean, how ridiculous is that, Michael? Now, it turns out that I would appeal the case to the Court of Appeals in Wisconsin for the Fourth District. And let me tell you how absurd was their response. This whole matter was resolved by what's called a summary judgment. A summary judgment is where a judge is entitled to apply the law to resolve a case because there are no disputed facts. Well, in this case, they're massive dispute, 180 degrees opposite. I was saying it was a FEMA drill, a fake shooting where nobody died. He was asserting his son had died. It had been real. We could not have been more opposite. So the judge resolved the matter by simply setting all my evidence to the side so there was no longer any dispute.
Jim.
That's how he did it.
Oh, my goodness, Jim. Well, I'm sorry that you have to endure this sort of kangaroo court-like situation where none of the evidence that you presented is even going to be looked at.
Yeah, well, it's absurd.
That's pretty criminal.
I mean, it gets worse.
I didn't even think you could legally do that, by the way.
Well, you wouldn't think you could, but it turns out in Wisconsin, they have a very perverse summary judgment procedure that's very different from that in other states. I mean, look. The case ought to have been tossed on the basis of the complaint, because the complaint was clearly flawed by asserting this legal atrocity that a death certificate, the one I published, which had no file number, no town, no state certification, was not materially different from the one attached to the complaint, which had all of the above. So the one attached to the complaint should have been the same as the one I published. Because in essence, I was found to have committed defamation on the base of a death certificate I'd never before seen, never commented on, and most certainly had never published. I mean, that's the way they did it. It was just artful deception.
If you could only see me right now, Jim, I've been shaking my head for the last 2 minutes now.
Well, Michael, I couldn't agree more, because it was further atrocity. The Kelly, of course, had provided the death certificate to me, and the attorney, whose name is Jacob Zimmerman for Leonard Posner, during the oral hearing, without making it available to me in advance, introduced a fifth death certificate that he said was a real death certificate that had a file number and town and state. When I eventually had the opportunity to examine it, it was just as fake as the other four. I mean, it was made on very flimsy paper. And the judge, I think this is deliberate, claimed that my whole case was based on whether or not it had an impression, you know, an impressed impact, which wasn't. This thing I'm talking about, the file number is right at the top right, the town certification, the state certification is on the left margin, the town certification's
right.
At the bottom. And then there is, in addition, an embossed imprint. Well, he just had me feel and ask whether the embossed imprint pretended like that had been the issue all along and found me to have committed defamation. I never even mentioned his name in relation to the death certificate. I just reported that it was fake, without attributing to whom it was, but they made the argument that I implied that he'd been lying about the death of his son, which, of course, would have to be true if nobody died at Sandy Hook. But get this. So I was found liable for that meant it was never a jury determination of, you know, responsibility. There was never even any consideration of whether Sandy Hook was real or not. And because the judge had excluded that already at the scheduling conference. And then when it went to the trial for damages, at which point I'd actually secured an appellate attorney, they abused the process. They projected the image of Noah Posner as a very photogenic little kid on the wall. By the way, I'd already in the course demonstrated that Noah Posner was a legal fiction made out of photographs of the person purported to be his older half-brother, Michael Vabner. I already had that in my evidence. I mean, it's hard to believe this could have happened, Michael. This is, to have lived through this, I wouldn't believe I could have suffered such a legal atrocity. But they made these emotional appeals to the court. I had two witnesses there, Kelly Bott and Tony Mead, who I think would have made excellent witnesses. But my attorney discouraged me. He thought I shouldn't put them on, and I was naive enough to go along with that. I had even written out an opening statement for him that I was very comfortable with, which he did not use. So I'm very, you know, upset on all counts. When they reached their verdict, it was $450,000 for defamation. And by the way, they threw in their testimony the report of a physician who never actually examined Leonard Posner, but had like a 20-minute phone call with him. They claimed that this woman who'd sent him some very nasty messages by the name of Lucy Richards had been inspired by me when there was no evidence she was inspired by me, or that she even knew who I was or had anything to do with it. So they got away with an atrocity in court, $450,000.
Good Lord.
I know it. By the way, get this. I was convinced that the party who came and testified under the name of Leonard Posner during a video deposition was not, in fact, Leonard Posner, but someone else. Namely, I thought it was Reuben Vabner, whose son Michael had in the childhood photographs been the basis for the Noah Posner photographs. And when I sought to pursue that, you know, as I read the statutes of the Wisconsin law, I could obtain an impeachment witness without notifying the court or the prosecution. And therefore, I sent a video deposition down to Wolfgang Halbig, who I thought would be perfect. And they shit bricks over that. They hauled me in. Even my own attorney was telling me I'd violated a confidentiality agreement about the video deposition, where I'd been told at the time I could use it in my own defense for legal purposes. And guess what? Even though legal fees aren't assigned in Wisconsin, the judge awarded legal fees, $650,000 on top of the $450,000.
I'm just shocked.
I know.
I can't believe this.
A first-year law student reviewing the bidding here would be absolutely floored because there were so many violations of standard protocol. I mean, this was a farce. And I began to say when I appealed to the court, it was District 4 Court of Appeals, on the ground of, you know, for example, disputed facts, they said, you know, they confirmed there were no disputed facts. They said one paragraph, Adam Lanza went to Sandy Hook and shot 20 kids and 6 adults, and how Neil Haslund had held his son in his arms when he died. And then they said, Fetzer claims it was a FEMA drill where nobody died, and yet they said there were no disputed facts. How does this happen, Michael? How does this happen? I even pointed out that Neil Haslund was contradicting Wayne Carver because the medical examiner, when he gave this bizarre press conference that James Tracy so beautifully critiqued, He said the parents weren't allowed to come into contact with the children. So that the fact is, Neil Haslin or Wayne Carver or both were lying. And of course they were both lying because there weren't any dead kids anyway. So I got sacked with, you know, 1.1. That's still hanging over my head. When they took the book, by the way, they gave me a token. They said, well, it was worth something, even though they were taking the book in violation of Wisconsin law, which says you have to assign a receiver. See, this is my property, right? In fact, I thought it belonged to Moonrock Books. But they decided that I had the copyright to these books, and therefore they could be taken. But a proper procedure in Wisconsin is you have to assign a receiver, and the receiver moderates the monetary reward or return to the recipient, you know, the person who brought the suit. Then when it's all paid off, it's returned to me. Well, I pointed out to the court, he didn't intend to market the book to pay off my indebtedness. He wanted to kill the book. And the judge even agreed. Yeah, I didn't think he was going to market it. He didn't appoint any receiver. He just went ahead and gave him the book and gave me $100,000 credit after my 1.1 mil. So you subtract 100,000, it's 1 mil. I mean, I'm just telling you, I appealed all of this, including the case, right up to the United States Supreme Court, and they wouldn't hear it, Michael. But get this. Damn. This is rather fascinating. Because I was so grossly abused by the court, a fellow named Steve Lucia, who resides in Connecticut, who knows everyone who was involved in the whole event, reached out to me and began to explain how the participants in the drill thought I had been abused and that it was outrageous, that they'd read the book, they liked the book, and they thought I was abused, and they began giving me information right off the bat, including a photograph of Noah Bosner, who had died at the age of 6 as the youngest member of the class celebrating his 8th birthday. Count the candles, 8 candles on the cake.
Lord.
Yeah, not only that, but these were the people who were cast as Emily Parker. She was a little blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl, right?
Right, I see that.
Mind you, I'd already proven that Noah Bosner was a legal fiction made up out of photographs of Michael Vabner when he was a kid. Prove it even by creating a GIF. I have a colleague in JFK Research who created a GIF proving that Lee Oswald was in the doorway of the book depository when the JFK motorcade passed by. So I sent him 2 suitable photographs. What you have to do is they need to be taken from the same perspective. And if you put the distance between the pupils of the eyes the same, then if it's the same person, all the features fall into place. Well, all the features fell into place, not only with Lee Oswald, but with Noah Bosner and Michael Vabner. So we had a party known as the Man in the Doorway in a very famous photograph taken of the JFK assassination, turning out to be Lee Oswald, which meant, of course, he not only can not have been the lone demented gunman, he can't even have been one of the multiple shooters. And believe it or not, I've established there were 8 different shooters in Dealey Plaza, that each of the sponsors put up their own shooter. And so you had an anti-Castro Cuban shooter, you had an Israeli shooter, you had a CIA shooter, you had a mob shooter, you had a Texas oilman shooter, you had a Eastern establishment surrounding the Fed shooter, you had a Lyndon Johnson shooter. Lyndon had a personal hitman, Malcolm Mack Wallace, who killed a dozen people for him, including his own sister because she talked too much. They were all participants in the turkey shoot in Dealey Plaza. So, I mean, it's just astounding how far the government will go to
cover things up. Yeah.
Yeah, about matters of the greatest importance. But I went all the way to the Supreme Court with this now. What happened? Amos Films came down here, and I explained all this stuff I'm explaining to you to Amos Films. I gave them the photograph of Noah celebrating his 8th birthday. I gave him copies of FEMA drill. The gal who had been cast as Emily Parker, her real name is Margaret Alice Cottle. Now, she turns out to be quite brilliant. And Margaret actually was the one who found the photograph of Noah celebrating his eighth birthday. She also found on the Connecticut FEMA the schedule showing the event Exercise L-366 for the day on the FEMA schedule, where they even sent out a map to show how you could get from Bridgeport, Connecticut down to Dickinson Drive where the school's located. And, of course, they filled me in about how it had not even been an elementary school. It had been a special needs school.
By the way, Jim, right now on the window here, for those that are on Deed Live, they're looking at a text message right now on your website. It says, you mentioned Victoria Soto, and that's her on the right, resurrected as Eva Morales.
Yeah. Yeah.
Texas teacher victim on the left, Sandy Hook victim on the right. Nothing to see here. That's what the caption says.
Yeah. That's exactly right. That's right. I was talking to Steve on the phone, and Margaret was standing right beside him, and Margaret was speaking to Victoria. She likes Victoria Soto, about reprising her role in Uvalde. And Margaret asked Victoria how much she was paid, and she said $210,000.
Really?
She told her, yeah, right as I'm speaking to Steve, so I'm hearing this in the background. I mean, they have spoken to me, you know, just to give a greeting, but most of the information I've got has been by Steve. But I mean, the Uvalde thing was totally phony. And look at this. It was based on Sandy Hook, Michael. At Sandy Hook, Adam is supposed to have shot his mother and then driven over to the elementary school and shot 20 first graders and six adults. Well, at Uvalde, get this. How's this for originality? Instead, he shoots his grandmother and then gets over to the school and shoots 19 second, third, and fourth graders. I mean, it's a joke. And then they even have, they muck it up, so they have two different fathers for the same little girl. If you scroll down there on the fake news, that the truth versus Alex Jones, I mean, it's just staggering. Victoria, Vicky Soto's real name is Victoria Aurelio, and she's actually the daughter of the Newtown town clerk. And the death certificates we're dealing with had her name stamped at the bottom to certify by the town that this is an accurate death certificate. Well, they informed me that Debbie Aurelia only actually uses her own signature. She does not use a rubber stamp. So all of these death certificates for Sandy Hook kids with a rubber stamp are fake.
So, Jim, let's go back to step one here of everything. Let's go back to the beginning here with the first official, the official story was that he shot his mother.
Yeah.
Do you think Adam Lanza actually shot his own mother?
No, of course not. The whole thing's a fantasy. I don't even think there's an Adam Lanza. I mean, the whole thing's a fabrication. These families are synthetic. They were put together. Most of them aren't even married. I mean, Leonard Bosner is supposed to be married to this woman, Della Rosa. Well, they're not married. They were never married. They don't have any children in common. I mean, it's just ridiculous. He has one and only one wife, and he's had three children by her. His oldest son, Benjamin Vabner, then his youngest son, Michael Vabner, and he has a daughter, Danielle. He was actually a high mucky muck in the Department of Transportation until Margaret got pissed off and made some phone calls and got him sacked. I mean, it's fascinating. She is so brilliant. At one point, I was trying to get him out here to visit me, and I was going to put him on several shows.
And what happened?
Well, they had a falling out. They had a falling out, and I wish that Victoria had come on here to where I reside in Oregon, Wisconsin, because I would have gone forward with her. But instead, she returned to Newtown. By the way, if you look at that blog and you scroll down, you'll see where the judge, in my case, actually says we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. I got it right there, Michael, for you. Do you see it?
I'm looking down here.
Yeah, just scroll down. You see the page 49 from the transcript of the scheduling conference.
There we go.
Yeah. Can you read it? You want to read it?
I'm reading it right here.
Yeah, the plaintiff, I understand, has drafted a very carefully discreet, narrow cause of action. The only issue in this case is whether Noah Posner's birth certificate is real or not. And if it's real, and Mr. Battali, Your Honor, the court, the Mr. Battali death certificate, the court, I'm sorry, death certificate, I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting me. His death certificate. Whether or not Sandy Hook ever happened or not is not relevant to this, the truthfulness or the accuracy of the death certificate. Now, I understand the defendant's overall theory in believing that it never happened, and I'm not going to take the bait and let this case go down that path and into that rabbit hole.
Amazing.
Whether or not Sandy Hook ever happened is for another day in another place.
Wow. That's pretty extraordinary, by the way. And it's right here all in front of you, ladies and gentlemen. This is a matter of public record.
Michael, it's not just extraordinary, it's absurd. It's completely absurd.
It is.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. I didn't think I'd see this myself. I thought you would get a better shot at this, to be honest with you, Jim. Once you first initially started going as hard as you have been all these years, I thought eventually this might happen to you. However, I didn't see the judge having this sort of a bias and he already had the mindset going in that you're just as guilty as sin.
Well, he begged the question. He just took for granted that Sandy Hook was real, and therefore anyone who is disputing whether or not it was real was acting unreasonably, and under the Wisconsin statutes, a judge is entitled to set aside evidence he regards to be unreasonable. Now, in Texas, for example, which I use as a contrast case, right, when I went all the way to the Supreme Court, I mean, this was a perfect case for the Supreme Court to rule on the Seventh Amendment right to a trial by jury, because in the Constitution, it says, I think for $20 or more, you can't be deprived without a trial by jury, or you're entitled to a trial by jury. There had been a request made for a trial by jury by the Posner team. I was entitled to a trial by jury. And especially in the face of all these disputed facts. In fact, I know a retired professor of law who told me that the biggest problem with the American judicial system is the abuse of summary judgment. So here I teed up a case that left no doubt about it. Perfect abuse of summary judgment. Michael, you won't believe this, but of the first 10 amendments, 9 have been ruled to apply to all 50 states. The only one not, the 7th. So I was teeing it up for the Supreme Court to make an historic decision rule that the 7th Amendment applies to all 50 states based on a crystal clear case where it was violated, and to bring into harmony the judicial practices of other states, because in Texas it would have been thrown out or gone to jury and I could have presented my evidence.
Absolutely. I'm still just trying to piece together the pieces of the first initial sort of exposure that all of us had when this first initially went down way back in 2012. If memory serves correct, they were showing footage of a guy running in the woods as well. And then whatever happened to that individual, my mind is sort of clouded right now in terms of that.
It just disappeared from the scene.
He's irrelevant, in other words.
Yeah, get this. In going to the Supreme Court, when they turned me down, you know, I appealed for reconsideration, and I included 2 appendices. A through E was the decision to decline. You got to show what it is you're appealing. Then I had the FEMA manual. Then I had the schedule from Connecticut. Then I had a photograph of the crime scene vehicle in the parking lot when they hadn't finished fabricating the evidence, because the windows of classroom 10 that would later be shown to be shot out were intact. So here you had a proof in a single photograph. And then in addition, in Appendix E, I had the affidavit from Brian Davidson, a private investigator licensed in Texas, who'd got into the Connecticut State Police files and discovered evidence that contradicted the story. For example, he has a photograph down a hallway where you're supposed to have the body of Don Hofspring and Mary Sherlock, who are the principal and school psychologists, in a pool of blood. Well, not only are there no bodies, there's no pool of blood. And in classroom 10, where a whole bunch of kids were supposed to be shot up. Not only is there no body, no blood, but there's no student desk, no student chairs, no teacher desk, and all furniture is pushed up against a wall. In other
By the
words,
way, Jim, just to be clear with the audience here and with me, are you also saying that there's no Adam Lanza? So you're saying Adam Lanza didn't exist to any extent?
Yeah, so far as I can tell, he's another legal fiction.
That's kind of where I don't really exactly side with you in that regard. I feel like that was a real person that did have Asperger's. But that also leads me to believe that he couldn't carry all this ammunition and all these guns with him to that scene. So I kind of feel like he did. I think he did exist, but because I also... There was also an interview with him where he called into a radio station, something like Anarchy Radio, and he talked about these really random things. And I wish I could find the audio. I'm not disputing anything else. I'm just saying I think he...
Michael, what was there for him to do? There was no real shooting, right?
Right. Well, that's...
There was a FEMA drill.
I do see there was a FEMA drill, yes.
If there had been an Adam Lanza, what was there for him to do? Because no one actually died. There weren't any real shots. It was all fake. They drilled holes in the window of Classroom 10 to simulate bullet holes, but they're all exactly parallel. I mean, they fabricated a lot of evidence. I think Adam Lanza was a watercolor created out of a skull. They took a skull and they did a watercolor to be this Adam Lanza. Now, there's a resemblance to his supposed brother, Ryan Lanza. Now, there was a real Ryan Lanza, and some think that Ryan was initially supposed to be Adam. But it's all bullshit, Michael. It's all bullshit. There was nothing for him to do. It was all fake. I'm just telling you. I know it's very hard to sort all these things out. Let me just
I know that's the I, oh that's the only I, that's the only path that I have a little bit of a trouble sort of following through. However, I feel this is what I believe. I feel like I feel like the feds carried this one out, Jim.
Well, it was all fake. I mean, nobody died. I'm talking about two of the alleged decedents that I've been in communication with myself.
Right, right.
I've had direct communication with two of them, and I proved that Michael, Vabner was a source of the photographs that were presented as Noah Posner. I've even got this photograph of Noah Posner celebrating his 8th birthday. Where do we want to go from there? Where do we want to go from there, Michael? I mean, it's fake.
Well, for the listener's sake, though, however, I do want to say that both you and myself, Jim, have been a subject of online harassment by some of the people close by this case. We've been harassed by a number of people, by the way, just by having these sort of discussions.
Let me tell you.
Go ahead, Jim.
Let me tell you the more recent developments because I want to enlist.
Yes, sir.
The audience support. I mean, look, Michael, you're making a point. He's supposed to have Asperger's. He's supposed to have been, 6 feet tall and weighed 112 pounds. You're talking about him lugging, this.
It seems to be kind of difficult that he carried this out on his own is what I'm getting to.
Yeah. So, I mean, the story is incoherent.
But there's a lot of inconsistency with the official story, just like the whole incident that happened in Vegas.
Well, guess what, Michael? That means it cannot be true.
Right. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, it cannot be true.
I'm with you on that. Yes, sir.
Well, here's the latest, and then we'll open the line to callers. They put out this film, The Truth Versus Alex Jones. They came here. They interviewed me. I gave them all the evidence. This is to Amos Pictures. when the film was about to be released, and it's only been out, I don't know, month and a half, they sent me a letter saying that I was left on the cutting room floor. So I got in the film. They used me because I told Wolfgang that they'd been here. I thought they were serious and done a good interview, and I'd given this mountain of evidence, setting him up to do an interview with them. Then they use him as the fall guy.
Mm.
So what they've done here, highlighting on Wolfgang and ignoring me and leaving all my evidence to the side, is create a straw man, an exaggerated version of a position that makes it easier to attack, because Wolfgang's done a lot of very diligent work, but you got me, a professional scholar, published a book with 13 contributors, including 6 PhDs, blowing the case out of water. They ignore it. So they have used what's known as special pleading, but also known as the method of selection and elimination. You select the evidence that supports a predetermined point of view, and you eliminate the rest. So they just left out on the cutting room for all the proof I'd had, including, I mean, how many people looking at Noah celebrating his 8th birthday are going to believe the kid died when he was 6 years old at Sandy Hook? I mean, Michael, yes. Now, here's what I've done. I've gone on Twitter now, and I've written to Elon Musk. Elon Musk did a long interview with Alex Jones. This is a couple of months ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
With Alex Jones, you know, rehabilitating Alex.
Yeah.
And Alex is saying how he was misled.
Right.
Sensors and school safety experts. And Elon entertains this and lets Alex go on at length. Well, how can Alex have been misled if, as he said during a video deposition in Connecticut, he never read the book? How did I mislead Alex if he never read the book? I mean, this is just ridiculous.
Yeah, he's playing coy, obviously.
So what I've done is I've tweeted to Elon Musk. This just happened today. Elon Musk, and yesterday, I guess, today, Elon Musk, Tom Fitton of, you know, Judicial Watch, good guy, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Jim Jordan, Matt Gaetz, and said, look, how about giving me equal time to respond? You featured Alex Jones, and he was attacking me. And I have a wealth of evidence, and I linked to this SGT report entitled Never Speak of This, which is embedded here, where I explain the history of the case and much of the evidence we've discussed and how I have been in contact with parties,
right,
participants in the drill. And I give you photographs of what they look like now. And they look pretty good for people who are supposed to have died how many years ago. I mean, I'm just ridiculous.
You know, I hope you do talk to some of these individuals in a sort of open forum. It would be incredible to have you up there talking to someone like, any of these people.
I've been trying to arrange it. Now, we've been in contact for over 2 years.
Yeah.
So what I also did then, it occurred to me, there's one of the guy out there who's really brilliant and fearless, Vivek Ramaswamy.
Oh, yeah.
So I sent an additional tweet to Ramaswamy with copies to Elon Musk, to Tom Fitton, to Marjorie Taylor Greene, to Jim Jordan, and to Matt Gaetz, suggesting a debate.
Hmm.
Wouldn't it be a good idea to have a debate on Twitter between Alex Jones and me about Sandy Hook, hosted by Elon Musk?
That would be fantastic.
What I want to speak out to the audience is, any of you on Twitter, go on, find my tweets at Jim Fetzer. I'm on Twitter at Jim Fetzer, and repost them and endorse them. You know, send messages to that group. I mean, you can do it just by finding where I've already got it. And the most recent with Vivek Ramaswamy, to say you think this would be a great idea. I don't want to let him off the hook. He's given Alex Jones all this time. I'm asking for the opportunity to respond, and I would be very pleased to debate Alex Jones about Sandy Hook on Twitter with Musk hosting, Michael. So that's what I want to put out for your audience, how they can help contribute to the truth.
Love it. Absolutely, Jim. I'm glad that we have you on here today. And I know this has been quite frustrating for you and I'm sure the wife, which we usually bring up here. I hope she's doing well, by the way, Jim. I hope she's not too angry with you.
She's doing fine, but you know, I think she thinks Sandy Hook was real, Michael.
Of course.
I mean, it's one of those things. It's one of those things. My own wife thinks it was real. But look, here's the deal. I think Elon created a situation where I'm entitled to have an opportunity to respond. So I'm asking for that. And if you all agree, take a look at the evidence. I don't think you're going to have any doubt about it. And by the way, I sent them a photograph of Noah Bosner celebrating his 8th birthday. That's right in the tweet, the first one I sent to Elon Musk.
I am so curious if they will even respond to you, Jim. I would love for you to have this conversation with the likes of Elon Musk. It would be amazing. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I hope he has the testicular fortitude to follow through.
Well, here's the thing. If he doesn't do it, Tom Fitton has witnessed it. Marjorie Taylor Greene has witnessed it. Jim
right.
Jordan has witnessed it. Matt Gaetz has witnessed it. Vivek Ramaswamy has witnessed it. Those are some pretty prominent figures to know that Elon Musk has copped out on a matter like this, where he professes to be dedicated to freedom of speech and to sorting out the truth. And he's been very accommodating to Alex. Well, why not hear the other side of the story, which I've been outlining here? And I say, Michael, if anyone wants to call in now, I'm welcome to take calls for the next 20 minutes or
okay,
so.
Okay. Well, I mean, if anybody out there listening to this, if you want to call in, please feel free to do so right now. Those of you out there, that number is 424-666-2425. 424-666-2425. Yeah, that's the number. Don't be afraid. Give us a call. We would love to talk to any of you out there. If you are out there listening, yes, put that number out there in the chat room. Thank you, Vic, 424-666-2425. Don't be afraid. Please come on down. We have the freight train here for you. Give us a call. If not, that's fine. You don't have to give us a call. That's fine. We could just talk amongst ourselves here.
Right, right. But check out if you're up for it. Go on to Twitter and support the idea of a debate. You know, you can just do a reply to my Twitter to all those people. Just make sure it goes to all those people and just say you think this is a great idea and that I'm entitled to have the opportunity to respond because I've been attacked. I mean, this is a huge, huge forum, a huge venue.
It is.
Twitter. And you've only heard one side of the story. I'm asking for the opportunity to present the other.
That's right. And if Alex was here in this sort of in the room with us here, the proverbial room, what exactly would you tell him now, Jim?
Well, I'd begin by asking, Alex, how can I have misled you? How did I mislead you? Because you said in your video deposition.
He's verbally verbally mentioned you in the deposition. Yeah.
Well, that he never read the book. So if he never read the book, how did I mislead him? What did he do? Just tune into one of my talks and just decide I must be right? I mean, I've given a lot of talks, but that is where our conversation would begin if we have the opportunity.
Let me ask you an honest question here, Jim, and
sure.
Be 100% honest with me. In your opinion, do you think who we see today, Alex Jones, do you feel that he is a genuine person?
No, he's an actor. He's an entertainer. He's going with a flow. He's doing what benefits Alex Jones. I'll tell you, in the past,
Cooper felt the same way about him.
Yeah. There are four stages of scientific reasoning on which I am an expert. I have a PhD in the history and the philosophy of science. I have many publications on the nature of scientific reasoning, among other subjects on which I'm expert. The four stages are puzzlement. Something happens and it doesn't add up. Like you hear about Sandy Hook, but there's this guy running in the woods. or the kid's got Asperger's, and how could he have carried and had that fantastic kill ratio? So you speculate. What are the alternative explanations? One could be, well, it was real, but it was not reported accurately. Another could be, well, it was staged. They didn't do a very good job of it. There are a lot of loose ends. Now, Alex is very good at those two stages. He'll talk about a lot of issues that are puzzling. He's open to a lot of speculation. But the third is to adapt the hypotheses to the evidence. How does it add up? With the available evidence, if you know, for example, what I've said about Noah Posner with a photograph of him being 8 years old and Emily Parker actually being Margaret Alice Cottle and alive and well, and Victoria Soto actually having gone on to earn a degree in 2017. She got a degree in special education, and I have a photograph of her when she got the degree under the name Victoria Soto. Now, how is the idea that it was real and all these people died when I can prove three different cases, I can actually prove more, who didn't die? In fact, one of them or more actually did sing at the Super Bowl, which is one of the reasons why it's been so difficult. I mean, how does the evidence add up? How does that crime scene vehicle in the parking lot, how, when the windows are undamaged, when they later be presented as damaged, how can that be reconciled with the shooting having been real? How can the before and after photographs of the string of kids where they rearrange the kids to do a better shot, how does it reconcile with the FBI consolidated crime report showing zero for murders or non-negligent homicides in Newtown for 2014? I mean, when you look at the hypothesis and ask what's the probability that evidence of the hypothesis were true, on the hypothesis it was fake, all this evidence has a very high probability. On the hypothesis it was real, approximately zero.
My goodness.
And then when the evidence, you know, has settled down, and I tell you, at this point in time, the evidence has settled down, you're entitled to accept as true the best supported hypothesis, but in the tentative, infallible fashion of science, Michael, that means if we get new alternative hypotheses or theories or new additional evidence, we may have to revise, reject hypotheses we previously accepted, accept hypotheses we previously rejected, and leave others in suspense.
Don't forget, they tore down the school.
Of course. Hey,
amazing.
They got 50 mil. Talk about the payoff.
Yeah, so there's a lot to this, that a lot of anomalies, let's put it that way, that make me question the narrative, obviously. Obviously, you have done the same, but even further down the quote-unquote rabbit hole, according to the judge.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, 100%. And that, I mean, you got to ask yourself, what in the world's going on that I'm not allowed to present the evidence to defend myself from an allegation that is false?
Right. That's, you know, crazy. I mean, and this is the America that we live in, by the way, for the listeners out there.
I know. Or should I say that I take to be false? Actually, I'm under court order. I'm not supposed to assert. And I'm just explaining the court order. I can't assert that the death certificate I declared to be false in the book actually was false. I can tell you, two forensic document experts arrived at the conclusion that all four of the death certificates that were introduced during the case before the oral hearing were false. And I'll tell you that the one that was introduced in court without any prior, I mean, that was a violation of legal requirements, is also fake because I've examined it with a magnifying glass and held it in my hands, and the paper is totally flimsy, not even good enough not to shred the embossment. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But what disturbs me the most, Michael, I went through all the measures. I went to the Court of Appeals. I went to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I even went to the Supreme Court of the United States with a rock-solid case. So if you want to understand, I have an article on my blog entitled Demolition of Justice in the USA. I talk about five different cases, including the E. Jean Carroll fantasy case. How can Trump be accused of rape and be able to defend himself when she can't even tell you the year in which he was raped? And what woman who is raped can't remember not just the year, but the month, the day, the year, even the minute? I mean, this was absurd.
She's also one of these women who had rape fantasies, by the way, and has mentioned it.
She's accused of half a dozen prominent figures of raping her.
Correct.
And she's described rape as sexy.
Absolutely. She mentioned it on video, by the way.
I know.
That's pretty wild.
Michael, you're right. And then we got the Fannie Willis down there where she actually hires her married lover, her lover who happens to be married and not the Fannie. And they spend all this money that's been given for the trial on lavish vacations. I mean, this is a joke. And then we have, of course, you have the real estate trial in New York where you're supposed to have. He followed absolutely standard real estate practice. He gives his assessment of the value of Mar-a-Lago. The bank has its own assessors. The bank makes its own assessment to decide whether or not he has suitable collateral. The bank did. They found in his favor. They lent him the money. He's paid them all back with interest. They're fat and happy. They'd like to do more business with Donald Trump. But the court intervened and said, no, he'd misrepresented. I mean, this is a case, again, should never have been brought to trial. I mean, and then there's a Texas case where Texas moved against the various states in the 2020 election that had not followed their own laws and regulations about the appointment of electors and asked the Supreme Court to hold them to account. And the Supreme Court refused to do it. Then the fifth case is mine. And I'm telling you, there's never been a more grotesque abuse of the law case than what I went through here. In their eagerness to suppress the truth about Sandy Hook. I mean, Michael, it is stunning. So anyone who wants to look at this in the broader context, go to my blog and look for the demolition of justice in the USA.
Yes, now we are on your website. Those of you out there in the chat room, yes, this is his website, Jim's website. This is the article, Jim Fetzer, Fake News, The Truth versus Alex Jones. Go start there and explore the website. That's jameshfetzer.org.
Yeah, they took jamesfetzer.org, but I knew it was coming, so I'd already prepared a fallback website, jameshfetzer.org. You got it, Michael.
That was a good idea on your part, by the way.
Well.
Very good part, yes, because you knew it was only a matter of time before they would do that.
Yeah. Well, I've got over 1,000 blogs. I mean, I don't just publish my stuff. I publish the best stuff by other people on my blog about various subjects where they're more expert than am I. But I'm telling you, when it comes to Sandy Hook, I think the American people are entitled to hear it from an expert who knows what the hell happened here.
I think so. I agree with you. I feel this is something that should be taken more seriously from everyone out there. I think all people need to be sharing your story right now, Jim, as well as Alex Jones, as well as Wolfgang Helbig. Everyone sort of deserves their time to be heard. Absolutely. Even though we don't agree with everything Alex Jones is saying, but very unfair that happened to him as well. And to Wolfgang.
Well, the idea of a billion-dollar fine.
All of
for
these things.
An opinion,
correct.
Having an opinion about Sandy Hook.
Yeah, this is a matter of freedom of speech. So, in my opinion.
It's absurd. All this is to scare people away from talking about Sandy Hook. That's what it's all about.
That's what it seems like to me. And
that's because it was a huge fraud. And because if they're exposed on Sandy Hook, people will start to say, well, what about the Boston bombing? What about Charlottesville? What about Parkland? I published books on all of these.
What about COVID?
They have also been banned by Amazon, Michael.
No shonker there.
It's all fraudulent.
Yeah, your books aren't allowed, Jim. They're going to start burning your books.
Well, they're doing the equivalent. If you're banned on Amazon, that dramatically restricts access to the public.
My God.
Most of them are still available at moonrockbooks.com. moonrockbooks.com. So let me encourage people to check out
moonrockbooks.com.
If you go to the very bottom of the page, you'll see I have the, it's not on the State of the Nation republication, but on my blog, you go to the bottom and you have the books I published with Moonrock Books and the, you know.
There we go.
They banned the book, the Boston bombing on Orlando and Dallas, on Charlottesville, on Parkland, on even on the moon landing. Though
that's
Michael,
right.
That was not because of the moon landing, but for disputing a taboo subject about World War II.
Right now, we are looking at a moonrockbooks.com right now.
But let me tell you, that's a wonderful book. I encourage everyone, check all this out. If you want to know what's going on, now, if you're willing to go with the flow and believe what you're told on radio and television, if you believe the mainstream, well, that's your choice.
I actually own that book, America Nuked on 9/11, by the way.
Yeah, America Nuked on 9/11, JFK, Who, How, and Why. I published an early trilogy that shattered the cover-up. Those three books were Assassination Science 1998, Murder in Dealey Plaza 2000, and the Great Zapruder Film Hoax, 2003. But the latest research, including, for example, proving Oswald was in the doorway, proving there was a limo stop, that the driver actually pulled the limousine to the left and to a halt to make sure JFK would be killed. During that limo stop, he was hit in the head, actually, it turns out, three times. I mean, all that's in the new book. And if you want to get more, if you want to get deep into JFK,
right.
I published a piece about David Mantic's new book entitled New Book Nails How JFK Was Taken Out in Dallas on UNZ.com. UNZ, which may be the best website in the world today. Wonderful stuff. But if you go there, you'll find there are over 600 comments on my article on the book on JFK.
I love the graphic on your books, by the way, by Amazon and banned right in the middle.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah,
these are good books, by the way. For anyone that wants them, definitely go to moonrockbooks.com and pick up yourself a nice book here. I mean, we're not so far away from the holidays. I mean, yeah, we are actually very far away. Let's pretend that we are, though.
Well, you mean they could make great birthday presents?
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I want a book.
Do yourself a favor and pick up if you can get a color edition.
Right.
Because the photographs are so much more stunning. And I just jam-pack evidence into these books. I put all kinds of proof in there and the best photographs I can find. So. And then pick up this little bonus, you know, Sandy Hook Truth, Robert David Steele. In fact, if you go on to Twitter, you'll find that I guess most of my followers had already obtained the book, you know, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, when it was available as a PDF. And it's still out there as a PDF if you know where to look. It's just I cannot provide it. What I can provide is a redacted edition that I can do and have done. But turns out the Sandy Hook Truth, it's been downloaded from Twitter, I don't know, close to 4,000 times, Michael. It's really impressive. I'm really pleased. People are responding. It's wonderful, wonderful little book. Free. All this is free.
Love that. Once again, Jim, I do want to thank you for being a part of the program. Go ahead and plug anything you'd like, my friend.
Oh, just say, you know, I do a daily show on RBN. I succeeded Michael Rivero. He had a show called What Really Happened. Mine is entitled Authentic News. It's 3 to 5 on RBN Eastern, 3 to 5 Eastern, Monday through Friday. And then on Revolution Radio, I have a show called The Raw Deal. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern, noon to 2. Some people are checking out. They're listening to both of those shows on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Michael. I have a lot of excellent callers on the RBN. I give a review of the latest news. I go through 30 or 35 news stories, both international and domestic, in the first hour, and that take calls the entire second hour. On Revolution Radio, I give a brief recap of the most important news of the first half hour, typically feature a guest the second for the following hour. And then the last 30 minutes, I take callers. For example, tomorrow, I'm going to be featuring Joaquin Egopian, who's an expert on war. He's a graduate of West Point. He's also perhaps the world's leading expert on pedophilia and sex trafficking of children. He has a 5-volume set of books, which I'm very touched that he acknowledges he published because I encouraged him to write them and publish them, and he's done it.
Right. So he's a great. I like him, but tell him that I mean no harm, Jim. My last interaction with him, I think he got kind of angry with me. He didn't like that I was posting up his articles, and I thought we're on the same side.
I don't know why not.
I don't know. I was just spreading the word for him.
I and the government rag are the two places he publishes his articles originally, and I probably publish 75% or 80% of them originally on my blog, and then they're republished on the government rag, or if I'm just too tied up, you'll have them published first on the government rag, and then I'll republish them on jameshfetzer.org. But he's doing a lot of good work.
I like him a lot. Let him know that there's no hard feelings. I think because also we were scheduled to do an interview and I had to back out at the last minute due to some uncircumstances that are can't really talk about.
Take my word for it. I'll see what I can do to patch it up.
Yeah, let him know everything's okay. There's no bad blood. It's just a miscommunication.
Yeah, no. I'm on it, Michael.
You got
let
it.
Let me just close by
yes,
saying.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Everyone out there who thinks that would be a good idea to have a debate on Twitter between Alex Jones and me, moderated by Elon Musk, let Elon know you think that's a good idea. You can do it multiple different ways, but one is to go to @JimFetzer and you just reply and do a reply all to one of those 2 posts I put up about this, promoting the idea of having the opportunity to respond to Alex Jones, and the last, which is addressed to Vivek Ramaswamy, to Elon Musk, to Tom Fitton, to Marjorie Taylor Greene, to Jim Jordan, and to Matt Gaetz. Just do a reply all and tell them you think it's a great idea. I think it just might happen. But it sure would help if I had your support. Let him know you think this is something that he should do as a champion of freedom of speech. Give the opportunity for a response from someone who has been maligned over Sandy Hook, but has the goods to prove his case.
Love that. Thank you so much, Jim, for being a part of the program. I will see you on the other side, my friend.
You got it, Michael.
Take care.
My pleasure.
And there he goes, boys and girls. That was my guest, Mr. James Fetzer, the Freight Train. It's been a long, long time since he's been on the program. And I do want to thank all of you out there for listening here tonight on DLive. That was a good time. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Always a honor and pleasure to do the program for you, no matter what platform we're on. And for those who are new, definitely go to michaeldeacon.com. Yes, it's right there on your screen. And of course, take us on the road with you. The show doesn't just end here. This was traditionally just a podcast. Never in my mind did I have a sort of, I guess you could say, the knowledge going way back in the day doing a traditional sort of radio show. That's one thing a lot of people don't really know about, that this was originally on the radio. Never really thought we would be doing it online, but, you know, things happen in life and sort of end up here. And this happened way before cancel culture. This is something I don't really talk about, but I'll tell you a little secret. But yes, we still sort of exist in that vein on a pirated radio station out there in Texas. That's all I'll say. Either way, I do want to thank all of you out there for hanging out with me here tonight. Always cool, always fun. We're going to be back here again really, really soon. And with that said, the world is a mysterious place, and life itself is a mystery. Until next time, good night. We'll be right back.
The order of chaos.